Praise God. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is good. Amen. I'm excited for all that God has for us. I'm always excited for what God has for me. Amen. You might not be excited for what God has for you, but I'm excited for what God has for me because He's got good things. Amen. He's got a good plan. He's got a good purpose. He thinks about us. He's got plans for us. And before the foundations of the earth, He planned a plan for us. And that plan was to bless us. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, you can intend good things for somebody, but just because you intend good things for them does not mean that they walk in them. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. As a parent, I have intended good things for my children. Amen. I have intended that they walk into the best. I provide everything that I possibly could provide for them. And that's because I'm a good parent. Amen. And I've set up a plan for them. Amen. And as far as following the Lord, you know, and stuff like that. And I endeavor to get them into that. But how many know that it's up to them to decide whether or not they walk in those plans? Amen. They don't have to listen to me. Have we ever heard of people having wayward children? Amen. That happens sometimes, not according to God's purpose. But we know this, that God has a plan for us. As much as I got good plans for my kids, amen, God's got even better plans for all of us and them. And so we teach our kids to follow the plan of God, amen. But it is up to them to do it. And just like it is up to all of us to do it, amen. But you didn't forsake the assembling together today. You came together to get fed, to get helped, amen, and to bring a supply. And that's one thing I love about the local church and what we've learned in the family churches is that the local church is a place where we come to get help, but we also bring our supply, amen? And so we don't want to neglect that. Praise God. You know, there's my wife was talking about in tithes and offerings. She was talking about, you know, the different things, the aspects of why we should tithe and give. And, you know, there's people out there that try to argue that all the time. And this is what I have to say about all that. I mean, Jesus gave you everything. And you're gonna sit there and argue about whether or not you want to give back to God. And that always seemed like a funny thing to me when you know, Christians that try to find a way out of doing what God has them to do. It just doesn't make any sense that God would give us everything and in return that we can't even just give Him the least. Amen. Jesus said, if you're not faithful with the least, which was money, and He said that, but He said, if you're not faithful with the least, you will never be trusted with much. And so we need to be faithful with the least, praise the Lord, because that's what God's called us to. But so much of the church world has lost this idea. It's lost upon people. People want to argue different things. Oh, this is Old Testament. This is New Testament. How about this? God said that everything belongs to Him. Amen. And that everything that you got as a result of Him. So if He needs something back or if He wants something back, why wouldn't it be on our hearts to just do that? Amen. My heart is to give everything I possibly can to God. And that's what we do. We give God everything that we possibly can. I'm not saying that we're perfect at it. I'm not saying that we're great. But what I'm saying is that we endeavor to be a blessing to the Lord as much as we possibly can. God has never left me nor forsaken me. And the reason He has never done that is because I do my best to follow His word. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, I was a Christian that didn't live as a Christian. I was a Christian that lived in the world, and I didn't have the blessing of God in my life in that time period. Now that I do have His blessing because I follow His word. I attempt to do that the best that I can. And God doesn't, and this is what grace is for. Grace is for when we're not perfect, when we can't do it perfectly, to get us through and help us to do that, right? Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm excited for what God has for me tonight. I hope you are. Tonight's message, whatever you want to call it, praise the Lord, is called What Purpose? Praise the Lord. Survey says, what purpose? Hallelujah. Glory to God. What purpose? We're going to be talking about God's purpose. We're going to be talking about our purpose. What's our purpose? You know, I was thinking, as I was preparing this message, just as I usually do, man, these messages are so much bigger than the people that show up. It's for so much more than just, I mean, it's for us, praise the Lord, but it's for so many, there's so many people out there that are just kind of bouncing off the walls. They're just kind of, you know, going around life and they're just kind of ping-ponging through life and they never get to that place where there's peace. You know, God was dealing with me so much this afternoon about peace. And although that's not going to be the message tonight, what I do know is this, is that with a lack of purpose, there's a lack of peace. And God speaks to us. He leads us. He guides us always through peace and into peace. And so if we're living in chaos, which is a plan, a life without purpose, amen, we're never going to find the things that God has for us. And so that's why it's so important to know what our purpose is, amen. Before I get into the message, I just want to, or the scriptures, I want to share with you, it was on my heart to look up purpose in the dictionary, amen. Not the Bible dictionary, but just a regular dictionary to define it. And as always, whenever the Spirit leads me to look something up or to dig into something deeper, I always get blessed by it. Amen? I love that about God. He always brings me to that place of being blessed. Amen? Praise the Lord. Purpose. It means the reason for which something is done or created or for which something exists. Amen? That's pretty cool. It's the reason for which something is done or created, for which something exists. Now, we know this just in life, and I'm going to go further with this definition in a minute, but we know in this life that whenever, if we do something generally, if we make something, there's some purpose behind it. If you add on to your house, if you build a garden, if you look for a certain job, there's some purpose for you doing things, amen? Praise the Lord. There's a reason for doing those things. Generally, people don't just do things with no reason. Now, sometimes people do things with no reason. Sometimes it's just like entertainment or something. But even then, there's some kind of purpose to it. But we have to understand our purpose is important. We need to know what our purpose is. Praise the Lord. Now, there's some synonyms it gave us for purpose in there. Amen. And I wanted to share those with you. They are just really interesting. It means synonyms are motive, motivation, grounds, cause, impetus. I didn't know what that word impetus was. For a second there, I thought we were going to have some kind of commercial. You see the word impetus? I thought a certain way. Praise God. Although you probably know what I'm talking about. But if you don't, well, praise the Lord. Let the ignorant be ignorant still. Amen. But impetus doesn't sound like what it sounds like it sounds. It doesn't mean what it sounds like it means. Amen. Praise the Lord. Impetus, I love this. It means the force or energy with which a body moves. Momentum, drive, and thrust. Amen? So this is another word for purpose, is impetus, which means the force or the energy with which a body moves. And instantly, when I see that word body, I think of the body of Christ. Amen? There is a force. There is a driving force. There is a driving energy that moves this body, hallelujah. Not just this body of believers, but the body of Christ. The body of Christ as a whole, the body of Christ individually. There's something that drives us and pushes us, amen? But see, there's so many people that walk around trying to find their purpose. They're trying to go, well, what's my purpose in life, you know? And that's what people are ping-ponging through life, you know? We need to have direction. I go, quite often, I go to people and I go, what's your plan? Praise the Lord. I ask this question often. What's your plan? What are you planning? What are your goals for the next month, for the next year, for the next 2 years, the next 5 years? What's your plan? What's your goal for life? What are you after? And so often the answer comes back to me, well, you know, I don't really know. Or it's something, just something little, something like, you know, well, I'm just trying to get through this part of life or something like that, you know, and whatever it is. Listen, that's not a goal. That's not a purpose. That's not a plan. That's just ping-ponging. And there's so many Christians, we have been given purpose through Jesus, through the Holy Ghost. We've been given a specific purpose. God has plans and a purpose for us. Hallelujah. We should not be people who are ping-ponging through life. Christians should have a direction. They should know where they're going. They should be after it. They should be, listen, I got things to do, people to see. You can't. If you're not going with me, praise the Lord, you got to stay behind. That's all there is to it. Amen? Praise the Lord. You ever done that? I am a person that likes to get out the door on time. And I hate it when I don't get out the door on time. And sometimes with a family, you don't get out the door on time. And I'm the one who's always sitting there yelling, if you're not in the car, we're going to be leaving without you. We're going to leave you behind. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. Because I got purpose. I got a plan. I got motivation. I'm moving with a force, with an energy. Praise the Lord. This body is moving. Amen? I got momentum. I got drive. I got thrust. I'm on my way. Don't hold me back. That's Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I've been doing a project in our house. I've been adding on to the front of our house, just enclosing a porch and making it nice, you know, not just throwing up a couple sheets of plywood, but I've been trying to make another room of our house, you know. And I told my wife, you know, I said sometimes, because I'm going, I start working on it early in the day, and I'm working on it sometimes. Well, last night we were working on it till we were working on it till we were up till like 1 a.m. working on it. I mean, we're just going. And I said that, you know, sometimes I don't have that shut off when I'm onto something. I just go and I overdo it sometimes. Sometimes I, you know, get myself too tired or sore. Praise God. But we should be doing that with God. We should be so driven with God that we want to go, that somebody's got to say, hey, man, just take a rest for a minute. You know what I mean? Praise the Lord. Well, you wanted scripture. I know you did. So let's turn to Hebrews 12. Praise the Lord. God is good. Amen. Hebrews 12, verse 2. We have purpose and we need to know that we have purpose. Glory to God. We need to be living our lives as people that know that they have purpose. I've got purpose. I got something to do here. I got something to take care of. And if I'm just sitting idly by, not accomplishing nothing, then I'm wasting that purpose. Yeah. We don't want to be wastes. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, so many Christians are just coming to church. They show up to church and they're just trying to get help. They're just trying to get through life. That is not the way a Christian is supposed to live. Now, if you come in that way, that's fine. People come in hurting and broken and all the time, and that's the way that it should be. People should come to the house of God. But we should not stay in that position. We need to grow up. We need to grow into things. We need to gain the victory, praise the Lord. And part of that is found by determining that I am going to live my purpose. I have purpose, and I'm going to live according to it. Amen? Praise the Lord. Look at what it says here. It said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Glory to God. This scripture to me has purpose written all over it. Look what it says. Looking unto Jesus, that's direction for us. Look to Jesus, amen, who, and it explains, he is the author. He has created our faith. He has designed our faith. He has made it so it would work. Amen. And he's the finisher of it. He ensures that if we step out in our faith, that we will accomplish what God has told us that we will. Amen. For the joy that was set before him. I love this. I have this underlined. I stop it. For the joy that was set before him endured. He endured. Hallelujah. But the purpose was the joy that was set before him. Yeah. What was the joy that was set before Jesus? It was the salvation of many people. It was recreating himself over and over and over. Yeah. God said that he was supposed to be the firstborn. That was the joy set before him, was the many that are born afterwards. There, Jesus had purpose. He said, no matter what comes at me, no matter what pain, no matter what's trying to rob me, my purpose is this, the joy that's set before me, and there is nothing that is going to turn me away from it. Amen. There is nothing. And this is the problem with so many Christians, is that they don't have that purpose that they are that's set before. Now, they have it set before them, but a lot of them don't even look at it. We get distracted by, we get distracted by paying bills, and we get distracted by, you know, this, or we get distracted by the house, we get distracted by the kids, we get distracted by our neighbors, we get distracted by our jobs, we get distracted, and the whole time the plan of God is going nowhere. People are looking for God. They're saying, where's the great revival that God promised to pour out? He's waiting for us to just sit there and get you and desire it. Yeah. To put our own stuff aside for a minute and say, you know what? What I want is the plan of God. What am I called to do? Praise the Lord. I'm going to give you a little hint what we're called to do. We're called to help this world get saved by any means necessary. Whatever we have to do. What's your job to do? The basic part of your job is to do whatever it takes to get as many people into the kingdom of heaven as you possibly can. That's your job. That's my job. That should be that, and that alone should be the focus of our lives. That alone should be the focus of our lives. Now, of course, fulfilling the plan of God specifically, that it will be more specific in areas. But there's so many people, they're like, well, I'll go to church on Sunday. I'll go to church once in a while or Saturday. I'll go to church once in a while here or there. No, we need to understand that church is not an optional thing. Praise the Lord. Church is not something that we just pick and choose whenever we want it. Church is not something where we are supposed to live church. Hallelujah. We're supposed to live our faith. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. The just shall live by faith. If you're not living faith, then you're not living just. Praise the Lord. If you're not living faith, you're not living righteous. Praise the Lord. What does faith tell us? Faith says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Faith says I can get up today and run again. Praise the Lord. Faith says it doesn't matter what comes at me, I can still stand. Faith says that I will make it through to the other side. Faith says that we always will, as long as we follow God. Amen? Faith also says, I will follow God no matter what. I don't care what you're going to do, I'm following God. Praise the Lord. And that's exactly what we need to do. Amen? Praise the Lord. We need to move with that force. See, God is a force. Jesus, the Holy Spirit is a force. He's the power. Jesus said, he told the disciples to go into Jerusalem and wait until they be endued with from power on high. Amen. And then they were filled with the Holy Spirit. That was the very power of God. And Jesus gave us that power for all of us to live in and to experience and to take to this world. But Christianity, the Christians of this world, they're not taking this in large numbers to the world because half the time they're too afraid to use it. Half the time they're too afraid. Well, I don't know if I can do all that. I don't know if I can talk to somebody. Who have you been made to be? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yeah. I've been made to set people free. Amen. I've been made to help people. Amen. Yeah. I've been given the very nature of God on the inside of me. The Bible says I've been recreated. I've been made new. He took who I was, took that out of me, and put something new on the inside of me. Something I didn't have before. So why do Christians live like they need something still from God? Why do they live like, the thing is that's because they haven't realized that they just need to tap in to what God has already placed in them. He placed the very power that raised Jesus from the grave, the very power that created everything. He placed that power on the inside of every person who calls himself a born-again believer. Amen? Praise the Lord. He put it on the inside of us. Everything you need is on the inside of you already. It's just waiting to come out. Everything you need. See, and this is why it's such a paradox when you have like Christians. I don't know if that's the right word, maybe, but you have Christians who are living like weak and broken and defeated without the power of God. They're living one trial to the next. They don't know what they're so focused on not being. Well, listen, I've been there. I know what it's like. But they're living paycheck to paycheck, sitting there saying, well, how are we going to get through? How are we going to get through? See, your focus is completely on the wrong thing. You forgot who your God was. You forgot who he made you to be. God put something on the inside of you that cannot quit, that cannot lose, praise the Lord. But we have to tap into it. We have to have purpose. We have to understand that God didn't just do it for us. See, maybe you won't believe it because you just think, well, would God really do that for me? He did it in you so you could help others. Now that's more believable, isn't it? Amen? Praise the Lord. And although he did it because he loved us too. But even if you can't believe that, you understand that everybody that we're supposed to reach, praise the Lord, everybody we're supposed to reach, we reach through that God-given ability on the inside of us. Amen? We have purpose. Praise the Lord. Turn with me to Matthew 16. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Matthew 16. The word of the Lord is good. It'll change lives. It'll change your life if you let it. But you got to know that you have purpose. Listen, it's not wrong to do things in life. It's not wrong to have a garden. It's not wrong to desire a nice car. It's not wrong to desire a nice house. It's not wrong to have a job. It's good to have a job. But by God, if that's all your focus is, if this is what you think about, what you think about all the time, you know, probably tomorrow in Mayville, it looks like I'm going to be preaching a message based on where our treasure is, there our heart is. Amen. And I'm not talking about finances really isn't what it is. It's about what the things that we treasure. What do we treasure from God? What's important to us from God? What we think about all the time, that's what our treasure is. What's consuming our thought life? Praise the Lord. If it isn't the Lord, well, then you got to check up on yourself. Matthew 16, 24. We'll read through verse 27. Praise the Lord. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. I love that it says here, let him deny himself and take up his cross. It doesn't say take up my cross. It says take up his cross. Yeah. It doesn't say take up the cross that God puts on you.
Right.
It says take up your cross.
Yeah.
What is your cross? Well, I would have to believe, according to context of the scripture here, that your cross has something to do with denying yourself.
Yeah.
Denying yourself things that, what is it? Denying yourself earthly desires. You know, we don't want to gain the whole world and lose our soul, right? We don't do, we could sit there and try to build this kingdom, amen? Some people live their lives and that's what they do. I know plenty of people who, they're just building a kingdom. That's what their focus is in life. They're going to get to the end of their life and they're going to look at it just like King Solomon did. And they're going to think, vanity of vanities, what did I do? What did I do with my life? Did I really just live my life to work a job and just pay bills? You know how many people live like that? It's not God's plan. Deny yourself. Take up his cross and follow me. Look at this. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world, praise the Lord, and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. And that's what this whole set of scriptures is talking about. When he says, whoever desires to save his life will lose it. I'm not talking about just living in self-preservation. But listen, our goal is not self-preservation. There's so many Christians that live, they desire the minister to preach messages that have to do with self-preservation. That's not what our goal is. God said, I will take care of you. He says, I've never left you nor forsaken you. But see, the question is, do we believe that? Do we believe that we have purpose in God that extends beyond just living every day? Listen, just waking up and going through your routine every single day, we all can do it. Me as a pastor, I can do it. I can get caught up in the day-to-day routine of doing things for God. Listen, it's important to have a nice church. It's important to make sure that bills are paid and that things are going on. But you know, it's more important to make sure that the body of Christ is fed. It's more important to make sure that people are getting the direction. They're getting they're learning how to connect to the Lord and have a personal relationship with God. Amen? Praise the Lord. And we all have purpose, but we have to find out what that purpose is. We have to rely on that purpose. We have to believe in that purpose. You know, I've often said that I don't believe that anyone who pastors, generally speaking, and this is just a general speak, I'm not saying it never can happen, but I don't believe that somebody who pastors, generally speaking, can also be a business owner and stuff like that. And a lot of people think I'm strange for saying that, but the reason is very clear. Because you can't be, I've been a business owner, and one thing I know about owning a business is that it consumes you. You can't be a business owner and have it consume you and then also be a pastor, which guess what I found out? It consumes you. It's everything. It becomes your entire life. Everything you do, everything you live and breathe, you live and breathe it. It's just something who you are. How can two things walk together unless they're agreed? How can two things dwell together unless they can coexist? Like you can't give all to one thing and then all to another. You don't have all twice. You only have all once. Amen. And so I make statements like that. So we have to understand that there's things that I have to deny myself in life. I have business ideas all the time, things I want to accomplish, things I want to do. And sometimes we just don't do them. Amen. I often say this, we have 8.5 acres of land and I love it. I've always wanted land and stuff like that. But guess what? Last year, I think I only got to use it like 2 or 3 times all last summer. And that's not a sad thing, but we just have to understand. Listen, if I went out there and just spent all my time out there doing that, being part of that, then I wouldn't be fulfilling the plan of God. See, I have a purpose and a call that's greater than even my desires and likes and stuff like that. Now, that doesn't mean that I never get to enjoy life. Of course we do. But we can't, our life can't be focused on that thing. And God, this is the awesome thing about God. If we focus on His stuff, He will make sure that we enjoy life. He will make sure that we get blessed. Amen? He always does. Amen? I said He always does. I've never seen God not fulfill His word. But it says here, I want to read this again. For the Son of Man will come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and then He will reward each according to his works. What we do here matters. God is looking to reward us, but it's according to what we do. It's according to how we've lived our life. There's going to be so many Christians that stand before the Lord with tears in their eyes because they're going to stand there and they're the only thing I have to offer you is what I built for myself. I mean, my wife and I, we love going to art museums. Recently, I was with my pastor, and we were driving around, and we were looking at some architectural stuff up in Buffalo, and we drove by the art museum, and I said, you know, I always think this, though, when I go in the art museum, and you go to the Albright Knox, and they told us, they couldn't tell us what the whole building or what each painting was valued at. Or insured for. For some reason, they're not allowed to share that information. But the lady did tell us, she said, the one thing I can tell you is that this entire wing of the building, just one wing of the building, is insured for billions of dollars. Yeah. Billions of dollars. I mean, that's how important that is. You know, there's people who will give their lives to maybe some architectural preservation thing or something like that. And I appreciate all this. I love that stuff. But here's the truth of the matter. And I always think about this. And I said this to my pastor as we were driving. I said, you know, I said, the one thing that always goes through my mind whenever I go into one of these art museums and enjoying this, you know, this rare Picasso or whatever, you know, just a work of art that is just so valuable, maybe billions of dollars in of itself. And I sit there. And I think it's all going to burn up someday. There's going to be a day where it all burns up and it was worthless. It won't be worth any more than the carpet that's on the floor here. You wouldn't put as carpeting down in your living room. You wouldn't take priceless paintings or works of art and carpet your living room with them. But it's going to be just as valuable as those things as it's burning up. And see, that's the thing. It's okay to enjoy that stuff. There's nothing wrong with that. But my point is if our focus is these material things, if our focus are things that don't matter, amen, we're going to be sad when we get to that end. And He rewards or hands out or doesn't hand out according to our works. Amen. Wow. Praise the Lord. I wrote this down because I thought this was important. Even Christians who serve and are faithful can be lacking in purpose. Even Christians who serve and are faithful can be lacking in purpose. Why are you doing what you're doing? Why do we serve? Are we trying to get somewhere? Are we trying to gain something? Amen. What is the purpose behind what we do? You can be lacking, and what I should say is lacking in God's purpose. See, God has a purpose for us, and yeah, God will put desires in your heart to be greater, maybe to to be into ministry or to assist in ministry or anything like that. And the Bible says that those are wonderful things; those are good things to desire. But listen, if we make those things our purpose, then what we do is we neglect what we're supposed to do right now. Praise the Lord. I was meeting with Josh back there the other day, and you know, we were just having a mentoring meeting, and we were talking back and forth. And I said, the number one thing you can do is to serve another man, is to serve someone else. And of course, Josh serves well and stuff like that. But I was like, this needs to be our focus, because it's in that place that God will reveal, and you will discover, and you will qualify for things that are greater. It's in that place. Of servitude. My wife and I, we still serve our pastor and our pastor's pastor. We do whatever we're called to do. Whenever we've served him with our whole church, praise the Lord, and we'll continue to do so. That's the heart of somebody that wants to move forward with the things of God. So many times people just be trying to get their own, just trying to get to where they're going, and not realize that we're part of a body. You know, even congregating here tonight, we're here together tonight. This is good. It isn't just about us being here. We bring a supply. It's about us reaching those other people. Praise the Lord. You know, if there was nobody sitting here, there'd be no cars out there, and nobody driving by would see any cars sitting out there. Praise the Lord. But see, so many times people will give stuff like this up. They'll give it up for worthless things. They'll give up, you know, they'll give up a Sunday morning or a Saturday night. They'll give it up for something like golf or something that doesn't mean anything, you know. And of course, we're not called to be in every service in every church all the time. But when we're supposed to be where we're supposed to be, amen, you know, God wants to bless us. He wants to help us. But we can't be there. Praise the Lord. And we won't find that purpose if we don't show up. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Even Christians who serve are faithful can be lacking in purpose. We have to recognize what is our purpose. What am I doing here? What are we doing? When we know, when we congregate, when we say, you know what, we're running with a certain vision, that we're accomplishing what God would have us accomplish together, praise the Lord. That's when our lives truly change. Amen. And that's when the lives of others change as well. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Turn with me to Philippians 2. Flip to Philippians. Hallelujah. Well, that was funnier than you gave me credit for, but I got a couple chuckles anyways. Praise the Lord. Flip to Philippians. Philippians 2. Praise God. Hallelujah. Verses 5 through 13. Philippians 2, verse 5 through 13. Says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Praise God, hallelujah. There's some good direction for a lot of faithful people right there. Amen. Let this mind be in you. You let it be in you. See, there's people that won't let this mind be in them. They'll let other things come in and other things distract them. They'll let another mindset be in them. But it says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. What did Jesus do? Jesus was not concerned with what he ate. Jesus was not concerned with what he wore. Jesus was not concerned with where he lived or how he was going to get to where he was going. He wasn't concerned with any of these things. What was he concerned with? The purpose of God. He was concerned for what is his purpose there in that moment, in that day, every minute of every day, all day long, every week long, every month long, every year long, for as long as he did it. Jesus accomplished more in 3 years than most people do in a lifetime. Yeah. And he did it because he just simply followed purpose. Yeah. That's why he did it. God did everything. His ministry was fulfilled in 3 years. Yeah. Amen. He saved the world in 3 years. Yeah. What did you do the last 3 years? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Right? I mean, that's pretty awesome. Now, of course, we're not Jesus. But it said, let this mind be in you that was also in him. Amen. Who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. What it's telling us here is he was God. He was equal with God. It wasn't robbery for Jesus to sit there and say, I'm God. And though he was in that form, what does it go on to say here? But made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Hallelujah. It didn't matter who he was. It didn't matter that he was God. Is there anybody greater than God? The answer is no, right? You guys did good. Praise the Lord. Pass that test. The answer is no. There's nobody greater. There's nothing greater than God. He was equal with God. He didn't. It wasn't robbery for him to be equal with God. Oh man, Muslims would hate them saying that. Praise the Lord. They would. Hallelujah. But this is the truth. This is what the Bible says. Amen. Praise the Lord. Coming in the likeness of men and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Praise God. That's a pretty profound statement, amen? Glory to God. It didn't matter. He humbled himself. I'm God, but I'll die. I'm God, but I'll go to the cross. I'll let people spit on me, kick me, whip me, beat me. Praise the Lord. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him. Let this mind be in you. Listen, if you will humble yourself, God will highly exalt you. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Because that's what he desires to do. Praise the Lord. Therefore, God has also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and of those under the sea, under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Amen. Now I want to read this in the Amplified, this last verse, praise the Lord. Philippians 2:13, the Amplified, it says, not in your own strength, for it is God who is all the while effectually at work in you, energizing and creating you or in you the power and desire both to will and to work for his good pleasure and satisfaction and delight. God is working in us. He's giving us that power and that ability. But that is found in purpose when you know that your purpose is for serving God. Amen. Praise God. Why, you know, this is why, again, we go back to the tithing thing or the giving thing or anything else that God would ask from us. If we have purpose in God, there was nothing that was asked of Jesus that he denied anyone. There is nothing that you can ask God that he will deny you. Let me say that again. There is nothing you can ask God in his will that he will deny you. Nothing. Nothing he will deny you. So why would we ever deny God? It's because we don't trust him. If a person denies God, it's because they don't trust. If they're looking for a way around it, they're trying to find a way to not have to do what they're called to do. Yeah, it's the truth. There's so many Christians that do that. There's so many Christians that live that way. They live just trying to figure out a way to avoid doing what God wants them to do. They come up with, you know, you can find YouTube videos on it. You can go out, just tell you right now. You can go on YouTube videos and they'll tell you how tithing isn't for today. Well, that's fine. Don't be blessed. I don't care. Yeah. They'll tell you how, you know, the Holy Spirit isn't for today. They'll tell you all these things. Yeah. Don't be blessed. Yeah. Don't be blessed. Don't do what the Word says. We can read in the Word. I don't need somebody on YouTube to try to tell me what the Word says. Praise the Lord. But see, here's the thing. People who are looking for a way out, they will go find anyone else they can to speak into life. I know that personally. I have people leave us this last year that went and looked for other people to support them in their decision of why they were doing what they knew was wrong to do. Why did they know it was? Because they knew. They were the ones that said, I'm called to this. I'm supposed to be here. I know I'm supposed to get. And then all of a sudden, God changed his mind, right? There's so many Christians like God's changing their mind every other month. Well, God put me in the church. I know he's called me to be here. Next month, they're in a different church. Yeah. Oh, God's called me to be there here next month. So God keeps changing his mind. You mean the God of the Bible, the one that says he don't change, and he keeps changing his mind where you're supposed to be. And it's so funny how he spoke to you through your offense. There's so many times people think that God is speaking to them through, God led me to do this. You mean because you were offended, God leading you through your offense? God never leads that way, amen? Praise the Lord. So we see that God is working in us, amen? He's working some things in us, praise the Lord. But we have to know we have to understand that purpose. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. His purpose. All things work together for the good to those who are called according to his purpose. Yeah. If you're not being called to his purpose, then you can't claim the scripture. Yeah. Yeah. You want all things to work together for good for you, but you don't want to do what God has called you to do. If you refuse God's purpose, then you also refuse God's blessing. Right. Praise God. If you refuse Christians that won't talk about their church, Christians that won't go out and you know, this is the thing. When my pastor presents something, I look at that as it's direction for me. Yeah. Praise the Lord. When he says, this is what we're doing. No, this isn't optional. When my pastor presents something to me, it's not optional. And I'm not talking about when he makes a suggestion about my own life or something like that. But when a pastor gets before a congregation and says, this is what God is leading this congregation to do, and yet everybody wants to have their voice and their opinion. Well, praise the Lord, I tell you where people can put opinions. Glory to God. Opinions don't ever do it because opinions don't work. They don't help anybody. They don't bless anybody. Why? Because God doesn't consult your opinion for his purpose. He made the plan for you ahead of time, and if he connected you somewhere, then whatever that place is going, that's where you're going. That's where he's trying to take you, amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I love opinions, amen? Glory to God, hallelujah. Well, let's go to John 9:1. We want to be called according to his purpose, amen? We want to operate accordingly. John 9:1. I love that. Churches that have so many different opinions. Oh my gosh. I have actually known churches that get nothing done because people just can't ever agree on anything. That's why God isn't consulting a whole congregation on where he wants to take it to. He doesn't consult a congregation on what, you know, I actually almost fell into that as a pastor. I was like, well, I better ask to see if people would like this. So listen, I don't care if people like it or not. I'm going to go where God leads us to go. If you want to go with, then you'll be blessed with. But if you want to go without, then you'll be blessed with, or won't be blessed without. Amen. Praise the Lord. Because God's going to take us where he's going to take us. And it's not always where we want to go. Listen, I didn't want to necessarily come to Corey. In my flesh, I didn't want to necessarily come down here. Didn't necessarily want to have another church, praise the Lord. Fine with one church, glory to God. But we do what God wants us to do, because when God's in it, praise the Lord, people get blessed. And it says here, now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Well, praise the Lord. They're walking around with the guy who heals everybody, right? That heals anybody who would ask, anybody who would come to him. And the only thing they can be concerned about is, why is this guy blind? Yeah. How many Christians do that? Well, I don't understand why this. It doesn't matter why it happened. We live in a fallen world. There's lots of things that happen in this world you won't understand. There's things that happen in this world you will never understand. I see people arguing that all the time. They're like, well, why does this happen? Why did this child have this thing happen? Who knows? Because we live in a fallen world. Bad stuff happens all the time. God came to try to save that fallen world. This is what disciples need to be focused on. Amen? Jesus answered, said, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. Now, some people twist this to make it mean like, well, see, God made somebody sick. He made somebody blind so they could show his works. But look what he says. He goes on to say in the next verse and takes care of that. He goes, I must work the works of him who sent me. I must work the works of him who sent me. If the works of him who sent him were making the guy blind, then they wouldn't be healing him afterwards. Praise the Lord. You know, Jesus told us in Scripture, he said, a house divided cannot stand. And he said that because he said they were trying to accuse him of casting out the devil by using the power of the devil. But the same thing works with God. God isn't making people sick just to heal them so he makes him look good. That's sick and twisted and demented. Like, can you imagine? Like, I'm gonna make my kids sick, and then heal them, just so it makes me look good. That's how people look at God. What kind of twisted, demented God do you think we serve? He didn't do that. We live in a fallen world. Things happen in this world because sin has entered into this world. Amen. That's the truth. I must work the works, and here he tells us the works of him who sent me. While it is day, the night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I kind of got ahead of some things there. I want to go back to that, actually in verse 3, where it says, neither this man nor his parents sin, but the works of God should be revealed in him. Genesis 50:20, it says, but as for you, and then this is Joseph, his brothers had put him in, you know, had sold him into slavery and all this stuff, and went through all the stuff that Joseph went through. And this is where they apologize to him, and he responds like this. He says, but as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people, or save many people alive. Amen. This is what God's intent was. God's intent was to take whatever happens bad and make it good. All things work together for the good. You see what I mean? He had purpose. Joseph had purpose. If you've been born again, you got purpose. I said you got purpose. He wants it. So this means if something bad, see, this is where Christians lose it. Because something bad happens to them, but why God, why God, why God? Yeah. Instead of saying, wait a minute, God worked this into purpose. He's going to work this out for me. This will end up blessing me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Joseph went from being thrown in prison, from being sold into slavery, to being thrown in prison, to being the second highest in command in all the land and extremely wealthy. Tell me God didn't want him blessed. Tell me God didn't want you blessed. That's exactly what he wants. Why do you think he tells us to give? In Luke 6:38 says to give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Why does he tell us to give? So he can give back to us. Praise the Lord. The way we want to increase, you want to increase out of poverty, you do it through giving. Amen? Praise the Lord. But he says, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Jesus said that, right? Praise the Lord. That's a pretty exciting thing. So we understand that Jesus was working the works of God. His whole purpose to being here, his whole purpose and everything he was doing was to work the works of God, to show God, to show who God was. Yeah. Who was he? What did Jesus do? Predominantly, one of the predominant things that we know about Jesus, what was it? He was a healer. Yeah. Wasn't he? Oh, that stinking faith healing preacher. What about that? Jesus was a stinking faith healing preacher. He was a prosperity preacher. He was. He went around talking about prosperity, how God wants to bless you. I've come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. Praise the Lord. You got to pay taxes. We'll go fishing. How did he bless Peter for letting him use his boat? They toiled all night long. Praise the Lord. What was Peter's job? He was a fisherman. He toiled all night long, let Jesus use his boat for Jesus' work, which was the work of the ministry, right? Praise the Lord. So we start seeing something here, right? Jesus said afterwards, after he used it, preached a short sermon, said, now cast your net off the other side of the boat. He said, we've toiled all night long, we haven't caught anything, but nevertheless, at your word, I'll do exactly what you said. He followed the Lord, and guess what? He found out, he got some purpose. Praise the Lord. He got a whole net full. In fact, he got so much purpose that his boat started sinking. Praise the Bible tells us the nets started breaking. The boat started sinking. They called other boats come in to come take it. You don't think that that profit's a fisherman? Where does a fisherman make their profit? With fish. So if they got an abundance of fish, guess what their profit margin just did? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Mama's eating good tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. So we understand that this is what God does. This is who Jesus is. He works the works of God. And we are called to do the same works. We are called to do the same thing. We are called to have the same purpose. His purpose. Now listen, our purposes will vary a little bit. My purpose is to be a pastor. And so I continue to do that. Not everybody here is called to be a pastor. Some of you may be, but here's what we do. We follow God. We follow it through to the end. Well, Lord, we constantly put it, how do we do this? We go before God. God, how do I stay in your purpose? How do I stay in your plan? What am I doing? Is this part of your plan, God? Is this thing that I have as a desire in my heart? Is this part of what you have me to do? Praise the Lord. But God will tell you to look for it, not in just searching for what you want to do, but by serving someone else. And we see this with God, we see this with Jesus, that his purpose was shown in how he served other people by constantly giving of himself. Like, listen, when we have some great people in our church, we got some, and some sitting here tonight, praise the Lord, such wonderful people that give of themselves to just be a blessing, amen, to the plan of God, to be a blessing to, and it's like my wife and I were talking this afternoon, God's got to increase these people. And he's going to. He is doing it. We're walking in it all the time. We just don't always see it. Amen? But that increase will manifest more and more and more in greater ways as we continue to move towards the things of God. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Why don't you turn with me to Matthew 5? Praise God. Matthew 5, verse 13. And we'll read through verse 16. Praise the Lord. So Jesus said, as long as he was in the world, that he was the light of the world, right? Yeah. Now look what it says here. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Praise the Lord. You are the salt, but if the salt loses its flavor. Listen, Christians, we've lost flavor. Christianity has lost flavor. There was a time where people looked at Christ, they recognized the importance of having churches in town. Even the heathen did. Even the heathen did. They understood. These people understood when Jesus walked around about the importance of that. And Jesus said that we are the salt of the earth. Look at verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill, it cannot be hidden. Praise the Lord. We are now the light of the world. We are to work those same works. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. You need to meditate on these scriptures. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify God or glorify your Father in heaven. Praise the Lord. What Jesus was telling us here is that Christians, we're supposed to let our light shine. And that doesn't mean that we're supposed to walk around just shiny, happy people. It means that we're supposed to show them by our works, by what we do, by our purpose. Christians are showing the world all the time what their purpose is, and it doesn't quite line up with the scripture. They're showing the world, like, listen, when they sit there in the bar stools, more important to me than being in the bar, that's your purpose. Your purpose is to just do what you want to do what makes you feel good. And if that's where your purpose is, you're going to always come up short. You're going to always fail. God has intended us to be the light of the world. He intended us, Jesus, to be the firstborn of among many. We are intended to be the many, amen? But if we're not being the many, we are not fulfilling the purpose that God has sent us to do. Our purpose is attached to where God attaches us. It starts in the local house of God. And as we reach out, as we go out, as we move as a body, then God will reach more and more and more people. But we fulfill each and every part of that. Are we living according to a purpose, or are we just chasing our tail? Are we ping-ponging through life? Are we sitting there? Are we going around and doing the work of the Lord, or are we just trying to just make ourselves happy? Amen. There is nothing wrong with enjoying life. There is nothing wrong. In fact, it's a blessing. It's a byproduct of living this life that your life will just be good. It will be filled. But you got to make your purpose God. You got to seek after God. You got to say, God, I want you above all. I want your work above all. I want what you're doing. I ain't going to resist it. I'm going to run with it. Praise the Lord, because I'm not going to be a hindrance to the power of God. Praise the Lord. What's your motivation? What's your purpose? Remember, we look at what's your impetus? Praise the Lord. Don't be impotent. Have impetus. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Do you want to move with the plan of God? Amen.